they still had some rough riders. The league wasn't what it was back then, what it is today.
Yeah, NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's Friday. Cry Day, if you're a Heat fan, I guess. October 9, and I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone Junkie, Triple J, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. I'm here in Larry Arm Studios, surrounded by old mates' apparent attempt to create the Great Pyramid of used coffee cups, and giving you the lowdown on who's doing what in the old NBA Orlando bubble. But there's been no games for a couple of days, so today it's just a bit of a preview. That's what we do. It's the NBA Finals. Game 5! Lakers are up 3-1. Game 5. The only person the coronavirus has looked at and went, nah, I don't want to catch that. They call him Selenia, the Pickle Man. It's Lakers fan Tim. He's joining us today. That's pretty fun. Tim, what's going on?
All the way from LinkedIn, which is how we met and how you asked me to join.
I love it. We're going to do three big questions, some yeah nahs, and maybe Jimmy's best bets that'll definitely lose your money. And we're going to close out with a Cooking with Bainesy today. It's a new one. I love a good Cooking with Bainesy. That's great. But yeah, we've got all the tips, all the picks, a bunch of dumb shit to talk about. That's all brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your betting needs. And this is NBA Australia episode 498. Unbloody real. Let's bloody well get to it. NBA Australia, let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Or you better watch out for the Lawrence Frank attack. Frank attack? There you go, Frank attack. That checks out.
Frank the tank.
Tim, we're going streaking through the quad. I mean, yeah, if you're Rob Pelinka, you got to be looking across the street there in LA going, how the fuck did that little nerd win fucking Executive of the Year? God damn it. And if you're Sam Presti, you got to be sitting there going, wait a minute, did I just fleece the Executive of the Year? What the fuck are we doing? But yeah, this is the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. It's the daily whip around. Apparently, Tim, the NBA is just giving awards to the Clippers now. Lawrence Frank wins Executive of the Year. Montrez, he wins the Hustle Award, which honors the player that makes makes all the energy plays. The effort plays to help his team, apart from, you know, the bit where he shows up and actually is good in the playoffs. That could have been handy. And Drew Holiday won the Best Bloke Award, which I think is the Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Award, because he's just a good dude.
Everyone loves Drew.
Drew Holiday's a legend. I mean, the dude just fucking gave up the NBA for like half a year to go hang out with his wife because she was having fucking pretty crazy health problems. So he seems like a bit of a legend. And really quickly, some fucking cool tinfoil batshit crazy stuff going on in Rumorville as well. I mean, we've got Paul George being traded to New York, if you listen to fucking anybody in New York, which is always funny. CP3, Tim, as well. All 35 years of him and $85 million left in his contract of him. He's also being touted to Milwaukee, Phoenix, New York at the moment. It's pretty funny. We're like balls deep in the NBA Finals and already the rumors are just fucking through the roof and people wonder why the ratings aren't good. It's like, oh, but where's CP3 going to go? It's like, we're just about to finish our finals, you fuckheads. Pay attention to the games, maybe. Maybe then people will watch them. What are you fucking idiots doing? But anyway, I don't know. Chris Paul, where do you reckon he ends up, Tim? If you had to guess, Milwaukee, Phoenix, Knicks?
No, I think the Knicks are finally going to hit their target of Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, and Amare Stoudemire for the big three next season. I think that's, and they'll be celebrating. That's a guaranteed title, except two of them can't walk, and one of them was surprisingly good this year.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, 2010. I mean, no, we meant 2020, bro. it's all good. Righto.
I kind of see him at OKC, to be honest.
I don't know. They've let Billy D walk. I think he's got to go as well, right? He's got to go, dude, I'm too old for a rebuild. I think we've, because they'll sell off, you know, probably Steven Adams and Danilo Gallinari's out of contract. So I don't feel like he could come back next year and keep it up, you know?
We're going to do that this year. We're just repeating ourselves. It's like when we used to write off the Spurs every season.
And then it finally falls apart. Tim, what did you think of game four? AD was immense. Defensively, offensively, he goes to Jimmy Butler, shuts him down. That was pretty fun.
It was a great adjustment. It was pretty clear that Butler could eat up anyone smaller than him. And like that's what they were doing on switches, especially all three games, but especially game three. And really, Miami are that vulnerable right now that all you need to do is kill Jimmy because all their shooters don't seem to be getting them in. Except for Tyler Hero. A hero is more than a sandwich.
A hero is more than a sandwich. Thanks Mark Jackson.
So it was good. It was a good adjustment by Frankie. And it was comforting for me because 2-2 would have been scary for a team that's thrived on momentum.
Mama, there goes that sandwich. Kendrick Lamar, none. I mean, he basically won you that game. 2 of 11. Pretty horrible.
Kendrick, what happened to him? He Freaky Friday'd with Tyler Hero at the start of the playoffs and doesn't have the ability to play basketball anymore.
I'd be more worried that he Freaky Friday'd with like Jerome Robinson out of nowhere. And it's like, what the fuck happened to this guy? He started all year and then was shit all the way. I don't know. But I feel like
For good reason.
For Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, I feel like they threatened in this game as well, didn't they? Like Robinson is slowly finding his shot through the series. If you're the Heat, you kind of like it would have been nice for you to just find it straight away, Duncan. Just saying, come on, mate. Instead of the 0-3 game one, etc. And Hero's kind of also, I don't know, he's not turning the ball over in just such horrific manner as he did game two and three. So. I don't know, man. The Heat, it was right there. It was a great game. 4-point game with 1.5 minutes to go. Butler's corner three that he misses turns into what? It's an 8-second, 6-point turnaround, right? The Heat could have gone up by one. Butler misses the corner three. Good look. Goes into transition. LeBron gets it to KCP. Bang. Dagger. And then you've got the AD proper final dagger. What? 40 seconds left. But pretty crazy, pretty close. Were you shitting it during the end of that? How did you feel?
I don't know. Like I felt I enjoyed that kind of a little bit more of a grind out win. Did it feel that as a neutral person was that a better game than what was the other close game? Game two from everyone?
I think this was like the best game of the series. Like it was back and forth and like nothing was really sort of locked away and like the Heat always sort of just hanging around. You guys couldn't just put them away. So that was really it was like a more fun game to watch. I think overall, even though Miami really didn't get into like any much of a rhythm at all at any point. It was kind of like they're just hanging on by like a knife's edge at any point. Like, you know, it's the weird Duncan Robinson banked in three and shit to keep them in within spitting distance rather than like, you know, real proper execution down the stretch. And the Lakers just out executed. It's more like the Lakers just went, oh, we'll shut you down and we'll try not to fuck up as much as we usually do. And that's kind of how it ended up going. So, but it was fun to watch. I'll tell you that much.
It felt like a better game. It felt like a pivotal game four, not a pivotal game five that we're accustomed to. But I mean, everyone seems to think this series is going six, so at least game five was a bit more of a grind.
Game four, like you got to appreciate a grind. There was a reason I didn't bet the over, and I don't think it was one of my favorite bets. Game fours, especially like 2-1, it's gonna go under. Very easily did. So three big questions for your Lakers, Tim, to take out the NBA Finals. What do you reckon? Number one, it's crucial that they come out and be engaged, not full of turnovers like the last couple of, you know, games that they've had. Basically, they just can they play like they don't have the ring on their finger already, Tim? What do you reckon?
No, I think they need that early slap. You saw it in game one. And they never got it in game three. They were lucky. They weren't great at the start of game four either. They need Miami to scare them. So, I mean, if they come out with some hunger and get a blowout lead at the start, that could be it. But I would probably prefer if Miami took it to them early, wake them up a little bit.
So Butler goes 1 of 5 against AD. Do we see more AD on Butler, do you think?
Yeah, like I love Coach Spo, right? I can't wait to see how, because of course that'll be the same approach, but I'd love to see how he tries to break that mold and get AD off Butler. It was good to get half a game of Bam because you'd hope he's better this game if his arm works at all and see what input input he can have. And if he becomes more of a offensive threat like he was against Boston, we might not have the luxury of exclusively putting AD on Jimmy Butler. But, I mean, that'll be the test. I can't see that changing on the Lakers side of things.
Yeah. LeBron triple-double to seal the finals MVP. What do you reckon?
Yeah. And I think if he really, if he gets something like 13 or 14 assists, then he will average a triple-double for the finals just to cement it. I could definitely see that happening. Maybe even deliberately, like Westbrook stat chasing. Just to get the balance right.
I think I mentioned in, Wednesday's show about there was like a moment, and I gave LeBron the that's a knife, the NBA Australia approved performer of the night. Because up until a point, I think maybe 3-4 minutes into the third quarter, he was pissy. He's like fucking slinging passes like the heads of Caruso and KCP and shit, you know, sort of glowering at them going, you motherfuckers better wake the fuck up. And then he's like, he gave it the old Nelson Muntz. All right, I'll just do it myself, and won the game.
Are you referring to that brief moment where they were all on the same football team?
Yes.
The old Nelson Muntz.
You know, he just grabs the ball and goes, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And hits those threes in the last quarter. And, you know, Anthony Davis was awesome defensively, hits the big three late as well. But, you know, LeBron sort of fired them along. And you could see there was just that pissiness in it. And, like, he's still young enough. At least he's not so old that he can't just fucking turn it on. So I've got a feeling we do see a LeBron. Hey, man, I averaged a triple-double for a fucking finals. Did you ever see MJ do that kind of vibe? And for the Heat, three big questions. Tim, this has got to be the very best time for Tyler Hero to get the fuck up and go off like a frog in a sack, right? Like, he might have his smoking hot Kuzma ex-girlfriend in the bubble with him, but this would be the time to really erupt. You know what I'm saying?
I don't, he, Duncan Robinson, who else can shoot threes on that team? Even Kendrick Nunn just need to just jack it up at this point. Like, Kelly Olynyk, he didn't shy away from throwing every ball up he could get. Why don't the ones that can actually shoot a bit better than him go for it? Why not?
Yeah, I'd also just really like to see Kelly Olynyk just go, right, whose shoulder am I fucking up now? AD, 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 AD. I mean, we've got two different instances of... old mate Olynyk doing it, so I don't know, just saying.
Every time AD does anything physical, I'm convinced he's going to be out for a year. He's just a fragile man, so I could definitely see Olynyk cutting his head off.
Well, Caruso fell in, like Caruso flopped on a, like on a play, was in the third quarter and fell into AD, and I'm like, holy shit, Caruso just killed AD. The Lakers fans are going to hate that. What would the Lakers fans do? Caruso just hurts AD. How could they spurn their favoured little boy?
Yeah, if KCP did it, we'd forget everything you just did in the last game and crucify him. But we love AC.
Nice. Do we see more than 10 minutes of Kendrick Lamar Nunn after that 2 of 11 shit show? I think we're going to get a lot more Iguodala in this one.
I agree. There's still enough in the reserve that Spoelstra can pay with that isn't Kendrick Nunn. He stinks right now.
And, this is the tough one, right? Can Miami win it beyond, like, having a historic Jimmy Butler 40-point triple-double again? Like, is there literally anything you think the Heat could do to get this to 3-2?
Yes. Yes. See, here's the thing, James. I'm an arrogant man, and I'm a Lakers supporter, but
wait,
I am not
wait,
an arrogant
man. Let me get this straight.
But I'm not an arrogant Lakers supporter. I'm shitting myself. I could definitely see Miami pinching the next one, maybe even one more. They just know how to – they win against the odds. Like, Jimmy Butler thrives on this kind of shit, and he already had his game, which he was probably always going to have. But, I mean, there's definitely enough players on that team. We've all seen Duncan Robinson. We saw Tyler Hero last series. Someone can drop it. We saw Bam. Someone can drop 30 or 40, and if Butler matches or comes close to that, we could lose. We're a complacent team.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you get one of those Duncan Robinson games where he hits 8 threes out of nowhere, or Tyler Hero goes off for another 37, you can see it being 3-2 pretty easily. But it really comes down to, I think, a lot of the times, you know, literally every time I think we've done these previews for the finals games or even Lakers playoff games, it's like, will the rest of the dudes hit their fucking shots? Because if they do, the Lakers win. If they don't, they could very easily lose. And the only way they don't lose is if LeBron and AD combine for 60. So, Yeah, it's a tricky one, but I've got an extra bonus one for the Heat. I mean, if he's able to gut through it, would you even play Goran, like, if he's hurt and he's not healthy? Will he just, like, fuck your shit up a little bit too bad? Playing injured players is never good. He might but be like, a warrior, but no, Jesus.
You saw it. He could not keep up with a trainer on that one little defensive attempt. And what, I love him. What a legend. But, you know, you saw Jamal Murray play in game 5 against the Lakers, very hurt, but able to run and probably still warm and the injury was fresh and had adrenaline and whatever else. Goran couldn't go for 5 meters. So there's just no value in that. And it's a shame. I don't really want to win it in those conditions. I'm glad Bam's back for that reason, but he's just not. He can't. He's too injured.
Nice one. All right. How about some yeah nahs, Tim? You ready for these? We'll just remember, as usual, NBA Australia yeah nahs brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, don't waste your fucking time outside going to the Bottle-O like an idiot. Go to thedailyliquor.com, use the code STRAYA, spend 20 clams, and get a free sixer of the delicious, delicious Bruce McAvaney. Delicious. Dos X. The best part is wines, cocktails. So if you're someone like Tim, who is not really into the beeros, wine and cocktails out your fucking nose. Loving it. Bob's your uncle. And the best part is, look, you can use this code STRAYA all the way through to the end of these finals, unlimited times, free sixes every time you spend $20. And the best part is, they'll bring it to your fucking door. How good is that? Dailyliquor.com, thedailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAYA, spend $20, get a sixer on your old mate Jimmy. Buy a
sounds
sixer.
Like it expires in one day. Well,
they better get around it, I'll tell you that much. Jesus.
Hurry up.
All right. So, yeah, there you go. You can also, look, stock up now, and you've got a shit ton of booze for the AFL finals, and you can sit there. Thank your old mate Jimmy for the free beers as well. The best part is it's cheaper than fucking Dan Murphy's, I'll tell you that much. Right, yeah, Nas, Tim, some pretty easy ones, pretty obvious ones. Should Lawrence Frank have gotten Executive of the Year over the guy who robbed him fucking blind? Yeah, nah.
Yes.
Nice one, all right. Explain yourself.
He got Kawhi and he got Paul George. And we all know how you win championships. They fucking shat the bed, but they're blaming Doc Rivers for that. And maybe next year when they win a title, it'll all make sense.
Sure.
Like, you get the best players in the league, you've got the best team in the league, and he got two. So, well, did he? He got definitely got one. He might have got a second one.
Well, so I don't know. I'm confused. Did Rob Pelinka not get AD?
Rob Pelinka got one, and Lawrence Frank the Tank got two.
Lawrence, that's a Frank the Tank didn't have to give up. Well, he gave up 7 picks, which is amazing. So,
well, we gave up 5.
But I love this. You give him Executive of the Year for giving away first round draft picks 2022, 2024, 2026, the two Miami picks you've got in 21 and 23, and first round swaps in 23 and 25. That's like giving the baby the award for like best job of not shitting his pants because he shit on the floor. Like, what the fuck are we doing? That's insane. But look, I still feel like Sam Presti just fucking robbing everybody blind. Like, getting picks to take on Chris Paul and make the playoffs and get rid of Russell Westbrook is fucking massive. But then to get that haul for Paul George, get the fuck out of here. Presti's got to get that, if not Pelinka. Jesus.
They don't award teams for coming sixth. They obviously award them for coming second or third.
Well, what about first? I'm just saying.
I don't agree with you. We got LeBron the year before. We got AD this year. We're going to... No, it doesn't work that way. You've got to get two.
Well, to be honest, I feel like LeBron and Rob Pelinka probably split the Lakers vote. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Do we see Dwight again in this series, Tim? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I do. I think we do because I could see a better Bam, which then spreads AD a bit too thin between Butler and Bam. And then Dwight comes back on for a couple of runs. So, yes.
All right. That's interesting. I'm fascinated to see if they start him because he was so fucking horrible at the start of game 4. I think I pointed out, like, it was 2 turnovers, 2 fouls, and, like, 1 rebound in 8 minutes. It was horrible.
Yeah, but he's had a good playoffs. So, like, who knows what Dwight Howard is these days. But mostly in the bubble, he's been good. So, I think there's another run.
I also need Dwight to go out there and get a couple of rebounds, steal a couple of rebounds from Anthony Davis, so I my Anthony Davis under rebounds total for the finals comes home. So that'd be nice.
Well, LeBron probably wants that too, just to keep AD's stats down for a finals MVP.
Love it. Tim, will the always faithful and loving Lakers fans go back in time and not graffiti that LeBron mural that they did a couple of months ago? Yeah, nah.
We love LeBron. What are you talking? Always have. Always have.
He's born and grown in LA. No, he's not.
Hey,
one of ours.
Kobe Bryant is dead to us.
Oh. That's actually the next one, Tim. Like, do you find it as distasteful as I do that their fucking whole... Look, they've actually... ABC, ESPN have now really leaned into the do-it-for-Kobe vibe, and I fucking can't stand it. I don't know how you feel about it. What do you reckon? Yay or nay? Yeah, nah?
I haven't seen any of that marketing material, but I love the theme. February... Was it February? Yes. Was awful. And, like, the game against the Blazers and the Memorial and the cancel game was awful, awful. To then have sort of a fairy tale finish after a pandemic pause is awesome. And, like, you know, they're going to wear the Black Mamba jerseys. I'm a little bit worried about the karma of that maneuver. But I don't know. If media always hands up that shit for their own benefit. But from a team level and a supporter level, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to acknowledge it, obviously, for a team and supporter base, but I don't know. I just find it, like, ESPN sort of doing the, they're doing it for Kobe. It's like, no, Kobe would never want that, ever. Like, he'd be like, why you need to win a fucking title? Because you need to win a fucking title, because that's all that drives you. You don't need a fucking Laker legend to die to then drive you to win a fucking title. Like, Kobe would have been 100% against that shit. Anyway,
being in a final series every player's always said that being in a final series is more than enough. And if there's anything more that LeBron needs, he's got a legacy to fuck with now. The Kobe stuff's definitely more for us, and maybe the broader Lakers staff organization. But I still think it's pretty amazing if we win.
Yep. Speaking of which, that's the last year now. Do your beloved LA Lakers stay unbeaten in the Mamba jerseys and win tomorrow? Yeah, nah.
I said it to you before we started. What do you know what year it was when Bill Russell heard that the Lakers had balloons in the ceilings of the Staples Center ready to win game 7 and they used that as their driver to beat us? I don't know what year it was, one of the 60s seasons. I don't know. It's just like the Miami Heat are a good team. They're like beaten up and they thrive on like underdog and whatever else. And we are dressing up in the jerseys to win, all the promos, blah, 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 who's going to be finals MVP. That shit just fuels people like Jimmy Butler. So it makes me nervous. Makes me really, really nervous. And not to mention our habit of complacency when we know we've got 3 games up our sleeve. So Lakers in 5, no question.
I love it. And that was the 1969 finals that you referenced as well. I remember, because that's the Jerry West winning the finals MVP.
That's right. Yes.
In the losing.
First finals MVP.
Yeah, the first one ever, and especially in a losing effort, which is pretty crazy. So,
yeah.
Nice one. Oh, all right. We're going to do this.
For all the internet community who thinks Jimmy Butler should win finals MVP in a losing team, go fuck yourself, okay? LeBron James wasn't even on my team when he played in those Cavs teams against Golden State. Was the best player every single year.
2015.
You're not going to give it to LeBron then. You don't give it to Jimmy Butler for this.
2015, LeBron should have been the finals MVP. You and I yelled about it at the time, and nothing has changed in my head. Quick dickhead of the week.
Dickhead of the week.
Anyone who argues that Rondo is better than John Stockton is a dickhead of the week, Tim. Jesus. That one popped off. I'll fucking tell you what. And Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and that means 4 for 1. Ice cold TGIF Foster's oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's lager, because no prick back home drinks this shit, but you fucking idiot Yanks do, because we call it Australian for beer. You dumb cunts. Only at Outback. Adam Silver has already been on the dog and bone, and that means that his bubble playoffs are not going down in 5 games. The Miami Heat will win tomorrow, just so Adam Silver can bank some more fucking checks. Only at Outback. I kind of believe that a little bit, Tim. Especially a Friday night game, which is not a massive draw usually in the States, whereas you could end up having, I think, what would it be, Sunday to finish
Sunday.
It all off. I mean, but that's, again, a bit of a problem. So I might have to go 7 for him to get the ideal one. Because if you've got on the Sunday, then obviously that's going up against
football.
So, whereas I think if it goes Sunday, then it'd be again Tuesday. You know, they're clean and clear if it goes to Tuesday. So in 7 games, obviously, that's where I'm getting to.
I don't think you often find the NBA conspiring against the Lakers. So I find that hard to believe. But from Australia's perspective, I need it to be on Saturday afternoon so I can get gloriously hammered to celebrate.
Love it. Jimmy's best bets, Tim. Do you want to pass a yay or nay on these? I've got the LeBron and the Jimmy Butts to score 25 plus each at $2.70. I like that one.
Yes, that's really good.
I think that's got to be a guarantee. I think LeBron easily gets to 25, and I think Butts has to do to for the Heat to have even like a scarec of fucking hope. There's also LeBron or Butts to have a triple-double at $2.20. I reckon one of them pulls it off. Butts is always threatening. LeBron's always threatening. Why not?
LeBron will get it.
I like... all right, if you think the Lakers are going to win, there's a nice little combo here, I think. KCP over 1.5 threes. Danny Green over 1.5 threes. And Kuzma over 1.5 threes. And then you can go the Lakers minus 7.5. And the over, which is 216.5 points. So if you really think the Lakers are going to bury them, that's a win. Easy. Flip side, if you think the Heat are going to make it a game, Duncan Robinson over 4.5 points in the first quarter. That's over $2. And then you've got Duncan Robinson over 2.5 threes and over 10.5 points, I think. So, look, I feel like Duncan Robinson's just warming up. So I reckon he's right there. Jimmy Butler plus points and assists. 32.5. I kind of like that a lot. And if you want to go the three-way Jimmy Butler, that's the points, rebounds, assists. That's an over of 40.5. What do you reckon about that one, Tim?
Wait, hang on. How does that work? Total amount.
Yeah, total amount between rebounds, points, assists, 40.5 combined.
He'll have a full Draymond game where no matter what, he's going to leave everything out there, even if the rest of his team doesn't.
All right, and finally, look, I kind of like that. There's a couple of nice little combos. The Heat 7.5 over 217.5 points. If you like Duncan Robinson, Lakers win. Just lean on the threes for the role players, KCP, Danny Green, and Kuz. And I reckon you're laughing. But I think my pick, Tim, it hurts my heart. Lakers minus 7.5. I think they get rolling and just end up winning by a pretty easy 12 or something. And the Heat just don't have quite enough weapons. Their shooters can't hit a shot. Every Celtics fan will be sitting there killing themselves because the Celtics defense couldn't stop Miami from scoring. Meanwhile, the Lakers did. So there you go.
Oh, I'm so nervous. Bet Miami because I am shitting myself.
Well, I think I tweeted out, was it during game 3? I think I'd bet LA in that one. And it was the old, if I've bet against Miami and that's prompted them to win, I will consider that money very well spent because more basketball. That's all I want. But I feel like the Lakers win tomorrow. But hey, we'll see how we go. So that's the pick. Lakers minus 7.5 at the moment. I'll be gunning for Miami just because I want more basketball, though. So there you go.
Yeah.
Nice one. All right, that's it, Tim. Sweet as. Unbloody real. We're actually going to be back tomorrow on NBA Australia doing another weekend show. Putting in the hard yards for you. That's what we do. It'll be all the usual dumbassery. Game 5's tomorrow. I'll do a rap show. And that also then means the 500th episode of NBA Australia will be on Monday. And we have a super secret special guest for that. It's fucking awesome. I can't wait to unveil it. I was like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney the entire time. Hey, remember when you did this? Oh, that was so cool. That was so cool. Hey, what about when you did... Oh, that was so fucking cool. It was a lot of that. So look forward to that.
Is it Michael Jordan?
I just... I told him I was Jason and here and was like, oh, just we need Last Dance Part 11, bro. What do you reckon? Can you spare an hour? But also, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG, get over the socials. Smash NFL Australia on iTunes, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you're using, the Android phone as well as NBA Australia. If you can rate and review, fucking do it. Don't be a dickhead. Come on. Help us out, would you? Go to NBAAustralia.com/shop, buy a hoodie, buy a t-shirt, buy a stubby holder. Tim, if you haven't bought a fucking hoodie and a t-shirt and a stubby holder by the end of this show, I'm going to bash you. TheDailyLiquor.com. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free six-pack of the Dos X when you spend $20. Huge thanks to all the bands from Oslo for the intro and outro song. Their new band House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now, and it's awesome. Also, Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. They're the best. Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facebook. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. They can't play shows, so should you. The Goldmines record is out now. I got my vinyl, got my t-shirt. They're fucking great. Right, we're going to close out with a brand new Cooking with Bainesy. And we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it. Go Lakers, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my God. My stomach feels sick.
Love it. All right, this is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosen. Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Yes, g'day, g'day. Oh, how good is this? It's good to see some of your smiling faces here in this socially distant studio. Love it. This is Cooking with Bainesy, and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. And look, oh, g'day, Cheryl. Yes, just settle down. Just sit down. Just stop breathing on everybody, would you? All right. In this here episode of Cooking with Bainesy, we are going to whip up one of my absolute Aussie favourites that you can have whenever. I mean, it's probably one of the best brekkies you can ever treat yourself to, but you can have it whenever you want because it is Bangers Bloody Bonanza Banana Pancake Bonanza. Oh, more like banana pancakes, am I right? Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's right. Love me a big Bonza Banana Pancake Bonanza, and it's oozy as, mate. It definitely helps keep up this physique as well, too. So, look, it is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your Supi or your fresh fruiter market and say, g'day to Con. G'day, Con. How you doing? Yep, there you go. And now you get a thing of bananas, grab a bag of self-raising flour, a bag of bacon powder. What are those little boxes? Yeah, a bit of the bacon powder, some eggs, some vanilla extract, some milk, and a bit of butter. Oh, and don't forget your maple syrup. It's not bloody pancakes without that gear, I'll tell you that much. Now, righto, fire up your stove. Just bang her over there, just chuck it on the medium. Warm up your little pan there. Mix 350 grams of your flour with a teaspoon of the bacon powders and then a bit of salt in the bowl. Dig a little bit of a well in the middle for the old two eggs, 250 mils of milk and the teaspoon of the vanilla and mush it all up, boom, with your nanas. Just tuck two nanas in there too. Whisk that shit together, mix it all up all nice. Get her all nice and goobery. Oh, there you go then. Grab your pan, make sure it's nice and warm, keep it on medium, chuck some butter in the pan, slop it all around, and then just get a whole bunch of your mixture and dollop it right in the middle. And bloody well crack a tin. Doesn't matter if it's the morning, just crack one open. Off you go. Now, all you're going to do is wait for the little bubbles in the top of the pancakes to appear, and then, bang, give it a flip. Keep doing that until you've got a stack the size you want. Just keep cooking them. Oh, they're nice and fluffy. Look at this. I usually have about 8 of these buggers, I'll tell you what. And you got to chop up the rest of your nanas, drop them all on top, and douse the fuckers in syrup as well. And Bob is your bloody uncle. Look at this. Look. Oh, I'm just going to start raw dogging some of this. Oh, there we go. Look at this mixture. Jeez, this is good. But there you go. All you need to do, wait for the bubbles in the top, give them a flip, cook her up, golden brown, and then just repeat. Easy as you like. And that, my friends, is an absolute bloody ripper of a Bangers Bloody Bonanza Banana Pancake Bonanza. They are bloody delicious too. And it'll dead set impress all the sharers too. Don't you worry about that. All right, how easy was that? Now get in, stricken. Oh, I'm just getting stuck in over here. I'll tell you what, do it at home. Makes a ripper hangover brekkie, and you'll love it, eh? Oh, geez, just try and stop me from eating all these. All right, tune in to NBA Australia next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.